the Lord laid on my heart to teach online. So I'd like to share this morning with you all during the Sunday school hour. Little teaching here. Do a little history lesson, too, on this. Because that's the track this back. Because we're told in Luke and Second Peter, remember the days of Noah and remember the days of Lot. And when we look at that, the situation with Lot comes not too long after the flood. If you can date how many years by the history, the ancestry of Lot. If you go back and track it, it gives you how many years it was. It gives you to the year how many years it was for Sodom and Gomorrah to get destroyed after the flood. I thought that was kind of neat when you start going back and checking dates. It's like, how long after the flood was this situation? And when you go through Shem, he comes from Shem's ancestry of Noah. Shem was 100 years old when he had his first child, which was 2 years after the flood. So we have a time frame there to go and track. Abraham appears 292 years after the flood. And this is all found in Genesis 11, at the end of chapter 10 through 26. It goes through the family tree there. And it usually mentions the older son in the family tree. And Abraham is the oldest of his three brothers. And Hamran is Lot's father. And he dies. And we find that also in Genesis. Chapter 11, in verses 27 through 32. His grandpa and his father dies at the end of that chapter. But Lot goes with Abraham. And the question was it always right that Lot went with Abraham? If you look at tradition in the Bible, the older son or whoever would take care of the family of a lost son, father, brother. So I believe Lot went with Abraham scripturally because he was part of Abraham's lineage. He was part of Abraham's family because his younger brother died. So Abraham was taking care of that. I could be wrong. But so we look here in Genesis chapter 12. If we look in Genesis chapter 12, we're gonna skim through this real fast to get to Genesis 18. So there's going to be a lot of hit and miss here. But I'll go through it as quickly as possible, and hopefully you get something out of it. In verse 1 it says, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and into the land I will show thee." In verse 4 and 5 it says, So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took his wife and Lot, his brother's son, and their substance, and they have gathered together, and the souls that they have gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan, and to the land of Canaan they came. So this was 362 years after the flood when this journey begins. We have it dated there because he was 75 years old, and we went through and looked at that. 362 years. Our nation has turned from God in 242 years. If we look at that, how our family fathers came in, said, we're going to worship God, we're going to set a nation among God. 242 years later, we look at our nation, it's changed quite a bit. We don't know exactly when Sodom and Gomorrah was formed, but it shows you how quickly something deteriorates. It could be built for good, but you let the devil get a hold of it, and this is what happens. So Abraham started his journey 262 years after the flood. So Noah would have been dead 12 years, because Noah lived 350 years after the flood. So during that time, people would have known Noah. And then we see during this travel, there comes a famine in the land, and this is found in Genesis chapter 12. And they go to Egypt, and Lot went with them. Lot was in Egypt when Abraham went to Egypt too. So we see that. And this is where Lot gets his idea where to choose from when he chooses, because he remembers Egypt. He remembers what Egypt had to offer. Because in verse 13, Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all he had, Lot went with him unto the south. And that was in Genesis 13. We see trouble in the land. They're still traveling together. It's still in chapter 13. And we look here in chapter 13, verse 5 and 8, and it says, "And Lot also went with Abraham, had flocks and herbs and tents, and the land that was not able to bear them, that they may dwell together, for their substance was great, and so they could dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's and the cattle herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwell then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is it not whole that the land before thee, separate thyself, I pray, from thee? If thou wilt take the left, I will go the right. If thou wilt depart to the right, then I will go to the left." In verse, we see Abraham's given the choice. There was the conflict. Now Abraham's given Lot the choice to make which way he wants to go. And in verse 10, we see here, in verse 10 and 11, it says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, the plains of Jordan, that was watered well everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou camest unto Zoar." Lot chose the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and separated themselves one from another. Lot chose because it was like the land of Egypt. Lot was looking into the world again. This city Zoar we'll see at the end here shortly too. And then we see in chapter 12, in 13, if you keep reading, it says, "And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities in the plains, which pitched his tent towards Sodom." Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, even though he's seen the land he wanted to go to, which is Zoar, because it reminded him of Egypt. He still pitched his tent towards Sodom. Lot was pitching his tent towards the world. A lot of Christians, a lot of people get saved, and they pitch their tent toward the world. They keep their eyes focused on the world. The world has this to offer. We see our mega churches that are formed. We got a young man in our church, straightening out his life, working on it. He's messed it up pretty bad. And while he's doing this, and he's in the treatment center, one of his friends, he started coming back to church. One of his friends asked him one Sunday morning, "Go to one of these churches with me. Go church with me." He went to church with him, which was one of these mega churches. His friend asked him, "So what did you think of my church?" He said it was different. His friend said, "You didn't like it, did you?" He said, "No, I didn't." He said, "I did not expect to go to a rock concert before church started." He said, "I know what a rock concert is because I've been to a rock concert. I've been in the world. I know what the world is." He said, "You're offering what the world has." And he was not pleased with that. And this is coming from a boy that's messed his life up, and he's trying to get it right with God. And he knows where he's messed it up. And he's trying to get right with God. And he's been doing pretty good. He's been not hanging out with the same crowd and all that. I'm still praying for him that God will do something for him. But in the midst of this, while he's there in Zoar and in Sodom, got his tent pitched there. We go to chapter 14, and there's a war between the nations. And Lot gets caught in the middle of this war. Lot's in the middle of this war. And we see that. If you read the first two verses, it talks about the war. We jump down to verse 10 and 12, and it says, "In the valley of Siddim was full of slime pits. The kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fell, and they fell there. fled and fell there. And they remained, and they that remained fled into the mountains. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victors which went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, and who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Lot got captured during the middle of this war. He was captured. He was taken prisoner. Everything that was taken. Imagine this, that would happen to you or someone in your family. What would you do? We see in the following verses, Abraham comes to the rescue. Abraham comes to his rescue. Even though he's out in the world living in sin, he's got his tent, got his dwelling there, because now he's not in Zor, he's in Sodom, because that's where he was captured from. So we see where he's living now. He was in Egypt, but he's got a little deeper into Egypt as we look here. And but we look, and Abraham comes to his rescue, and everything was returned back. We stand up for our family, don't we? No matter what it is, saved or unsaved. If they have hardship, we go and help them. We help them there in funerals. We help them there in sickness. We help them there in trouble. We pray for them, and we're praying for them. We all have got unsaved family. We got family that's got so much sin in their life. If you admit it, it's in your family. You name the sin, it's in your family somewhere in your family tree. It might not be your immediate family, but we're looking at a nephew here. I can look at nephews or our cousins in that phrase. I can look at cousins. I can look at aunts and uncles. My family. My family tree's got it all. They got the alcohol. They got the race mixing. They've got the gays. You name it. It's all in there. Somewhere in my family, you would find these sins that the world has. And so this is Abraham's family. He's just like it. It's showing us Abraham's just like us. His family's just like ours. Not perfect. And the sin is there. But Abraham goes to his rescue. And he rescues him. And restores him back. So we look here. We look here and we see Lot is in Sodom and Gomorrah. Back over there in Sodom. He's back there. He's living there. And we get to Genesis 18. Between 14 and that, Abraham was called Abe. I know I've been calling him Abraham all along, but he's the same person. His name was Abe. His name was changed to Abraham. We see that happens. We see God made the covenant with Abraham that his seeds would multiply. We see Ishmael born in Genesis 16:16. That's important because that gives us an age of when he was born. Then it talks about a circumcision at the age of 13, which is important. That makes Noah 99 years old when this all takes place. You go back and you track it. It even gives Abraham's age. So this is 386 years after the flood when this event takes place. Because next, the following year, Isaac's born. Isaac was born to Abraham then. So we look here. It's 36 years after Noah's death that we're into Sodom. It's 24 years after the journey began. Didn't take Lot long to get into sin. 24 years. You think about 24 years. I think about 24 years, I was still single and I was still living at home. 24 years ago. 24 years ago, I was still at home. So I think about how much has changed in 24 years. I'm married, I've got two kids, and I'm blessed. And I thank God for the blessings he's given me. How fast 24 years changed. It just seems like yesterday. Well, we get to Genesis 18. And at the beginning of Genesis 18, it talks about God and God making his promises to Abraham and how stuff's going to be fulfilled. But we get down here to verse 22, the end of the chapter. And the men turned and faced 18:22, it says, "And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there'll be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and spare for 50 righteous therein? That be far from to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not judge all the earth to do right. And the Lord said, If thou find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the place for their sake." And we know, we keep reading it, it goes down to 45, it goes down to 30, it goes down to 20. And then it goes down to 10 in verse 32. He asks the same question almost basically over and over. He brings it down to 10. Why did he stop at 10? Why did Lot stop at 10? Or not Lot, Abraham stop at 10? It equals the least amount of people in Lot's family. We'll see this in chapter 19. We see that Lot, we know Lot and his wife, we know his two daughters are in a household. Talks about sons, there's at least two sons. Talks about sons-in-laws with the sons plural, so that makes more two more people. So he has at least two more daughters. That gives 10 people in his family that would be close enough to Lot to be righteous. Cousins, are you close enough to your in-laws? I know I'm close to my in-laws. Think about it. That was probably Abraham's reason he stopped at 10. We can find at least 10 souls saved in Sodom and Gomorrah. Will the Lord destroy it if Lot's family's all right with God, if they're righteous? Because in 2 Peter, righteous soul was vexed because he hung out with the unsaved. You read that scripture and it talks about it, the unrighteous, and how it had a bad influence on him. So it's thinking at least 10 people was going through Abraham's mind probably at this time. Lot's family is going to be okay. We get to the city. We get the visitors to the city in 1 and 3. And there came two angels into Sodom at eve. And Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose to meet them. And he bowed himself towards the bowed himself with his face towards the ground and said, Behold, now my Lord, turn thee, I pray thee, into the servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet. And he will rise up early and go away. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, that they turn unto him and enter into his house, and had made them feasts, and they did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. We see Lot's visitors come. Lot knew who they were. Lot knew these were guys of the Lord. He showed respect for him. He bowed down to him. He kept his face towards the ground. He showed respect. But Lot had position in the city because he was at the gate. He sat at the gate. He sat high up. So he had position in the city. He had something to do with the city. You would think Lot, with the power that he had, would have had a good influence on it. In verses 6 through 9, we see the wicked come to the door. And they knock on the door. They're wanting the men to come out so they could do what they wanted to with them. It shows their sinfulness, that they had desires to do things with men instead of women. It shows their sinfulness. It shows that they were, how wicked the city was. And Lot confronts them about their wickedness. Lot confronts them. In verse 6 or 7, it says, I pray thee, brethren, do not so wickedly. He knows they're wicked. He's telling them they're wicked. I've got $2. I'll give you my $2 to do whatever you want. Leave the men alone. I couldn't imagine saying, here's my kid. Have at it. Do what you want with him. But Lot was willing to give up his dollars for these two men of God. Not right. That verse got to me. And it's like, wow. Lot didn't value his family like he should have in that verse. We see it continue, and the men take action. They blind the men that were there so they couldn't find the door. And here where we get to the family. And it talks about the family. And the men of Lot said unto Lot in verse 12 of chapter 19. Hast thou here besides sons and laws and thy sons and thy daughters? Whosoever has the city in the city, bring them out of this place. Wherefore we'll destroy this place because of the cry of them wax great before the face of God, and the Lord sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake to his sons and laws, which is ployer, so that means he's got, as we pointed out, two daughters that are married at least, which married his daughters, and said, get up out of this place before the Lord. We'll destroy the cities. But it seemed as one that mocked him unto his sons-in-law. His sons-in-law mocked him. His family mocked him. You want us to get out of this city? You're the one that not living for Christ, probably is what he's saying, or living just like we are. You're no better than us. I've got a cousin that I have a hard time witnessing to, because there's supposedly a Christian that he knows. Says, when I go talk to him, why do I need church? Why do I need God? If he can live like that, I live better than he does. He does more sin than I do, and he claims to be a Christian. This is probably what's going on in their son-in-law's mind. You got family members that don't live as good as they should. Why should I be a Christian? They're no better than we are. And that's how the world looks at it. That's how the world looks at us. Because we got people out there saying, I'm a Christian. That's not truly saved. They're living in sin. They're living together. They're drinking. They're accepting the gay, the homosexuals, the lesbians and all that. They're accepting the gay community with open arms. Our churches are accepting that wide open. And that's hurting us as Christians. And that's what we look here and we think about for just a minute. What is destroying our families? Are we destroying our families ourselves? Where are we pitching our tents to? Where are we dwelling in that our family is dwelling? That they're not going to listen to us because we're dwelling in the sin. Have you searched your heart? I tell our people when I get the chance to preach, we got to search our heart. We got to ask God, what's wrong in my life? That's a hard sin to pray. Because you know what? God starts pointing them sins out to you if you start praying. Lord, do I have any wrong in my life? Do I have any sins in my life that I need to get out? Because he'll start pointing them out. A few years back, I remember the preacher preaching on something. I can't remember what he was preaching on, but he was preaching on something, and God got a hold of me and says, you need to stop doing that. It wasn't nothing major, but it came out, hey, you do that. You need to stop that. Put it away. Get rid of it. Put it behind you. And last week, it talks about Lot fleeing in verses 15 through 17. I grabbed James on this part, but James is not in here, so I won't grab nobody. And in the morning rose, and the angels of the Lord haste Lot, saying, arise, take thee the life and thy two daughters which are with thee, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. While he lingered, Lot lingered. Lot hesitated. He lingered. You ever linger on something? Hesitate? This is what Lot was doing. He was sitting there hesitating. Because we see here, he lingers. The men laid hold upon his hands and upon the hands of his wife and upon the hands of his daughters. Two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought forth him and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought forth the broad, they said, escape, for before thee thy life. Look not behind thee, neither say, stay thou in the plains, escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. They grabbed them. Lot hesitated. He says, I like this city. I'm going to stay right here. He hesitated. He lingered. People linger. Took the angels of the Lord. I grabbed James last week. I said, come. And James didn't want to come at first. I said, come. And I pulled him out of the bench. I said, I believe this is what these guys were doing to the family. Because he lingered. They grabbed hold of him. They brought him to the end of the city. Come. Flee now. Get away. The Lord was willing to spare them four souls because they were in Lot's house. They lived with Lot. We see Lot's prayer here in 18 and 21. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord, but behold, thy servant hath forth grace in thy sight, that thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me by saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil takes me, and I die. Behold, this city near to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. It is not a little one. My soul shall live. And the Lord said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning these things also. I will not overflow the city, for whence thou hast spoken. He said, see the city out here? I can make it to that city. Can you at least spare that city in case I can't make it to the mountains? And God showed mercy on this little city. Remember, this little city, as we look here, becomes this city of refuge at this time. He just had to get into the city. This is his refuge city here. Haste thee and escape thee thither. I cannot do anything until thou become thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. We looked at Zoar. The sun will rise upon the earth, and Lot entered into Zoar. We look. This is the city that Lot looked at that reminded him of Egypt. That reminded him of Egypt, the world. The Lord spares this little city. We're in this world. We're to live as Christians. God put us into this world so we could be a witness to others. And that's what Lot should have been doing in Sodom. Lot lived in Sodom. I know Sodom and Gomorrah both was destroyed, but Lot lived in Sodom. Lot should have been a witness to these people. Lot should have been out saying, hey, this is wrong. This is against the law. This is what we need to be doing. But Lot did not do that. But he was a righteous person. He was a servant of God. He asked God to spare his city because he was merciful. God is merciful to us. If we ask him to forgive us of our sin, he will forgive us of our sin. He is our city of refuge, God is. We go to Jesus with our problems. We got to make sure our hearts is right. And this is where Lot was. And we see the destruction. We see the Lord destroys the city here in verse 24 and 25. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstones and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew the cities and the plains and the habitations of the cities that which grew upon the ground. He kept his promise. I'm going to destroy the city. If I can find 10 righteous, I wouldn't. If Lot's family would have been all right, the 10 that we can account for, that's recorded at the beginning of this chapter, the 10 that was there, that's these two cities and its plains would have been spared. But they could not find the 10 righteous. So there was 4. It don't end there, does it? Bible tells us, remember Lot's wife. Her heart was back in Sodom and Gomorrah. I couldn't imagine being in the situation they was, not to look back. Don't look back. What did they leave behind? They didn't have time to gather up stuff because they were drug out, basically, by these men. Come on, let's go. We'll grab them by the hands. They didn't have time to say, we're going to pack, we're going to move. It was flee, get out. We're going to destroy it. They lost everything. You see fires, you see damage. We see the hurricanes just happened here in Florida and in South Carolina and North Carolina. The damage that goes on. People lost everything. Here's Lot. He lost everything but his life. And his wife and $2 life. Lot's wife, her heart was still back in there. Because in verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him. And she became a pillar of salt. She didn't have the faith enough to listen to God. Knowing, hey, this is all going to be gone. You've already told it was going to be gone. Don't look back. Don't look back at it. But she was willing to look back because her heart was there. I couldn't imagine losing family. Because she lost at least 4 kids we know of. 2 sons. $2. What else was in the family? Was there grandkids? Was there great grandkids? We don't know. We don't know what went on in there. But Lot lost everything. He lost his wife just right now. And she turns around and she beholds. I couldn't imagine being a pillar of salt. What was this pillar of salt? Was it a statue of her? Or was it a pillow? A square pillow? I don't know. She turned into salt. It don't give the description, but it says, remember Lot's wife. God's judged Lot's life on the one commandment. Don't look back. We look back at our sins. It's always good to remember God brought us from, but we shouldn't dwell on these sins. We get into church services, and I'm glad to see where God brought us from. I'm glad to see people testify. But when they start dwelling on the sins that they used to do, that gets to me a little because God's already forgot it. We should forget it and put it behind us. But remember where God brought us from. That's where we should be dwelling on. God brought me out of this sinful life and brought me here. And I thank God for that. Then we look at his uncle Abraham. Could you imagine making a deal with God? Saying, God, if you'll find 10 righteous, will you spare the city? He started with 50 and went down to 10. Abraham probably was thinking, I'm going to get up this morning. Everything's going to be good. The cities are going to be spared. There's not going to be no destruction. But in the next few verses, we see that did not happen. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward the land of the plains, and beheld, and lo, smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the city of the plains, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst that overthrew, when he overthrew the city which Lot dwelled in, the cities which Lot dwelled. We look at this. Here's Abraham. He's seeing the smoke. The disappointment that Abraham would have had. Think about the disappointment Abraham had. We're all going to have disappointments in our life. But are you going to be the one that I witnessed to him? I gave him a gospel tract. It's the family all in. That's the question here this morning. Is your family in? Have you truly prayed for your family? Lot lost family. Abraham lost family in Sodom and Gomorrah because of God's judgment. Our family, we've got families dying and going to hell. I think about it. Before I got saved, my grandpa died. They talk about my grandpa. All I remember my grandpa. My mom, I don't know my dad's grandparents. So when I say grandpa, I'm talking about my mom's grandpa. I remember seeing him one time. I was 3 or 4. I remember seeing him one time in his house. I had to pass him in the hallway. My grandpa had one arm. I had to pass him on the side where he didn't have this arm. That freaked me out. I'm sure I was around my grandpa more than that, but that time it freaked me out. I don't know why that he had one arm. Years later, I asked, what happened to Grandpa's arm? Oh, he was drinking. So I swiped the car going down the road, tore his arm off. Blew my mind. They were honest with me. I didn't know my grandpa's name was Ernest. Until someone said, Ernest. We were doing something one Christmas. I was a teenager at the time, back in the 90s, because I remember having a computer. We was doing something for the family. We were making calendars for the family that year. We were putting pictures on there. And someone says, put Ernest Bradford Holly on there. Why Ernest? Ain't his name Jack? No. You know where he got his name? Jack? What he drank. That's where he got his name. I always thought his name was Jack because everybody talked to him as Jack. But he got his name because of his sin, because he was a drinker and what he drank. That's how he got his name. Where do you get your name from? We can mention names in here. Great names. D.L. Moody, man of God, right? Billy Sunday, Steve Allen. Great men of God that went on. We sing at church, what a day that will be. And every time I hear that song, when I look upon his face, I'm thinking the first thing Steve Allen saw was the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that he had that we ain't going to have. Because that's the first thing he saw. But we look at that. What, when somebody says your name, what are they going to think of? We think of Lot. We think of Sodom and Gomorrah right off, don't we? We don't think as, we know he's related to Abraham, but Sodom and Gomorrah comes first. We think about the wicked city that he lived in. What are people going to think about you when it's your time to go? The old saying, I've got it here. Let me get it back up here. And I've not made it that far, but my Sunday night message, I preached 3 messages on this. I took my time. I rushed through it this morning. Sunday night message, I ended with the old saying, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. I've heard that saying growing up in church all the time. Think about it. It's a true saying. It costs a lot more than what he wanted to do. What is sin going to cost you? When your grandkids looks at you, Lord forbid, but one of these days, if the Lord don't come, we're going to be laying in a coffin. What are your grandkids going to know you as? Or what is people going to tell you about them? Well, Grandpa lost his arm because he was drinking. He was called Jack because he was, that was his choice of drink, Jack Daniels. He's like, wow. I could tell you stories about my grandpa, they tell me. That blew my mind, how wicked my grandpa was, and seeing God save my mom and bringing her out of that. I know the side effect of alcohol. I've had it in my home when I was growing up till the age of 8, and God got a hold of my family during that time, my parents, and I thank God for that. I look back at that. What are you going to be known for? Are you going to be known for Sodom and Gomorrah? Are you going to be known for a great man of God like Abraham? Brother Richardson.